Growing up in a refugee camp in Lebanon, Olfat Mahmoud would sit around the brazier in the evening and hear tales of a town called Tashiha. It was the town in Palestine that had been home to her family for centuries, until in 1948 when they were forced to flee. Palestinian refugees like Olfat's family are the forgotten refugees. 70 years since that day, they remain stateless and have never been able to return home. Olfat's written a book about her home and about her struggle ever since, as she was actually born in a refugee camp. It's called Tears for Tashiha. She came in earlier to talk about the book.
My grandparents will tell us about Palestine and my parents. So I have an image to my village in my head. And when I saw some pictures of the village recently, I felt, my God, it's the same image. That means my grandparents and parents were really accurate. They were really describing it really very well. So from the oral history, we are able to feel that we belong to there. We spiritually actually has linked to there. And this is why for us it's very important, the right of return.
So your parents and grandparents even kept the key to the front door in their hometown of Tashiha because they so believed that they would return sometime. Mm.
My grandparents always said, you know, we never wanted to be refugees. My grandmother said, I wanted a safe place to my children. It was war. We heard about lots of massacres and, you know, killing. And so I wanted to take my children to safe place. So I locked my house and I took the key with me, hoping that when it settled down, I will return back. And look now, it's 70 years and we are still refugees.
And your parents and grandparents have since died, but yeah. You carry on the cause.
Yeah, of course, they died, but we carry on the cause and we want to be able to open the house of my grandparents.
Tell me about that day, as you were told it all through your childhood, the day that they had to flee from Tashiha.
My grandmother, they had lands and they were at the farm. When they heard the heavy bombing, when they started to bomb Tashiha really heavily, everyone in the village said we should, like families with babies, they should take their children out of the war zone and they should go to Lebanon because Lebanon was very close. So this is why they decided to leave and go to Lebanon. And they walked, actually. My grandmother lost two of her children. They get measles and they died.
What was your childhood like growing up in a refugee camp in a country that didn't really entirely want Palestinian refugees?
My life was divided. Within my family, inside the house, I felt so safe and happy child. But outside the house, always I felt threatened as a child. Always the police will wander around. There are lots of really unlogic regulations imposed on the refugees. People could not leave the camp after 7 p.m. till 7 a.m. Very, very crowded. Like, I'll tell you the camp I come from. It's called Burj al-Barajni camp in the middle of Beirut, close to the airport. It's less than a square kilometer, and it's about 3 football playing grounds. Until the year 2012, around 27,000 lived in this camp. Now, because of the Syrian war and many Palestinian Syrians left Syria and came and joined their relatives, now it's over 45,000. So as a child, no space to play, no electricity in the camps until now, because they are considered sign of settlement in Lebanon. We have type of electricity which is unreliable. Sometimes we don't see it for weeks, like it's not legal. So hundreds of lines coming into the camps, which makes the situation very risky, and many people die from electrical shock.
Your son Shaka, Shaka, he has become a Canadian citizen and he was able to go back to your home. Tell me that story.
Oh, when he became Canadian, like all Palestinians, when they get another nationality, the first thing they want to do is to return back to Palestine, even on a visit. When he rang me and he told me, Mom, I'm going to Palestine, I had mixed feelings. I was so happy, delighted. One of us could make it, but I was at the same time frightened. First of all, they stopped him at the border between Jordan and Palestine for 9 hours, even he is Canadian. And when he went to Tashiha, he told me, Mom, always I don't know how people like react. I always thought that they exaggerate their emotions. Until I was at the entrance of Tarshiha, I felt something strange in my body. My blood, he said, strange feeling, I can't describe it. And I saw myself throwing myself on the front, on the ground, and started to kiss the ground. And then I stood up and I said, what am I doing? He said, I can't describe my feeling. And I started to walk on Tarshiha's street and imagine my grandfather. He was working here before me. And I felt so happy, but I was at the same time sad because I did not fulfill my grandfather's dream of being in Tarshiha or burying his body in Tarshiha. He said, what I did, I felt this is the best I can do, is he planted an olive tree in Tarshiha by the name of his grandfather. Really, we were very happy, not just me. Imagine the whole camp, the whole people were asking my son to write their name on a piece of paper with the greetings from the Al-Aqsa, and he would take photos and send it to people. He did around 800 signs. People were very happy. Imagine just the sign from there made them very happy and lifted up their morale.
That's Olfat Mahmood talking about her book Tears for Tarshiha, published by Wild Dingo Press.